I want to begin by welcoming some people you may recognize up here in the sanctuary. On behalf of Father Robert, the pastor here, I want to welcome Monsignor Carl Shimiak, the former pastor here, and also Father Mark Smith, pastor of St. Joe's Pomfret, and of course, Deacon Al, Deacon Tony, and especially all the family members who are here, Jonathan and Greg's family members who are here. And all of you, and thank you for coming. And not just for coming and celebrating, but also for coming and praying. That's really what we need to do. We offer the highest prayer the Church has to offer, which of course is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So again, thank you for coming, not just to celebrate, but to pray as well. And I was just thinking, with this gospel that we just heard, you know, how many other parishes, how many other parishes worldwide even, perhaps, are tonight sending off two of their own to the college seminary? And here in this gospel, it begins, our Lord sent off the 12 apostles two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. But we haven't done that yet. Don't try casting any demons out yet. I also thought it was kind of appropriate, the instructions that our Lord gave them. They were to take nothing for the journey. No food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals. Those of you who often question why I will often wear sandals up in the altar, well, here it is. It's right out of the Gospels. And Jonathan and Greg and I were debating whether or not we should wear our sandals, but I said, no, it's too formal. But I was going to have them up here and maybe use them as a prop. But our Lord tells them they were to wear their sandals and have a walking stick, but no second tunic. Precise instructions for his 12 apostles that he sent off two by two. And coming back to the sandals, why I was really tempted to use this as a prop here. Our Lord tells his disciples that he has just sent off two by two. He tells them to go and to preach, but then he says, whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there, take the sandals off your feet, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them. Some strong words that our Lord gives to his apostles who he has sent out. He says, go and preach, but if they don't listen to you, you know, once you've done everything in your power, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them. Wow. That's pretty severe instruction. But I think that kind of balances the instruction that we see in the first reading from the prophet Amos. See, the prophet Amos was from Judah. This was after the 12 tribes of Israel had been divided, and you had the tribes of Judah and you had the tribes of Israel. Amos was from the tribe of Judah, and God called him out of his own land to go and preach instead to the tribes of Israel. And this first reading picks up with exactly what happens. Amos has gone from his land of Judah to the land of Israel at God's call. And he runs into all this resistance. The priests there say, off with you, visionary. Go back to Judah. We don't want to hear you. We don't want to listen to you. And what does Amos say in reply? Amos says, look, I'm no prophet. I've never belonged to a company of prophets. I've never been schooled in this. He says, in fact, I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamore trees. He says, I'm this humble guy. I'm only doing this because God called me to do this. He said, the Lord took me from being a shepherd, from being this dresser of sycamore trees, and said, go from Judah to Israel and prophesy to my people there. So Amos is kind of saying in return, you know, all I'm doing is what the Lord has called me to do. I've never claimed to be anyone special. I'm just doing what the Lord has called me to do. So we have kind of these two extremes here. Because on the one hand, we see in Amos that the Lord will call us. He will call us, he does call us, to go and to preach often to people who do not want to hear us, as was the case with Amos. He was not welcome, they did not want to hear him. And on the other hand, our Lord says in the gospel, well, if they don't listen to you, shake the dust from your feet and move on. And I think there's a fine line here, and I think this is what makes these readings fit so well for this Mass at which we send off two of our young men to the seminary, and it's just so providential. I never cease to be amazed at how well these readings fit. You know, we had picked this date tonight, because Jonathan's family's moving on soon and moving off in a week, and we had to do it soon because they're both going into the seminary, and we picked today, and only a few days ago, when I look at the readings, I think, my God, these readings fit perfectly with what we're doing. But this is not just for the priesthood. You know, the Lord doesn't just call some of us to the priesthood. He calls all of us to go out into the world and to preach. And I think the challenge of the Christian life is to find that fine line. There's a fine line between, on the one hand, we don't want to be too quick to shake the dust from our feet. I know sometimes there's a temptation that I know I've run into, and I imagine many of you have run into. There's a temptation sometimes when you're trying to preach, when you're trying to share the good news to someone, and they just so quickly write you off. And there's a temptation to just say, okay, fine, you know, I'm just going to shake the dust from my feet. And we can't be too quick to do that. Why? Because the Lord has called us to do that, as with Amos. The Lord called Amos. Amos had to persevere. He couldn't be too quick as soon as he hit resistance to say, all right, fine, give up and go back to my hometown. But on the other line, on the other side, we can't be discouraged. We can't be discouraged, brothers and sisters, when we go and we preach and we share the faith and we've done everything in our power and they still don't listen to us. We can't be discouraged. We have to be willing to say, okay, you know what? I've done everything I can do and I'm going to move on. And that's the fine line, kind of balancing this call in Amos and the call in the gospel, to walk that fine line. And Jonathan and Greg, that would be my advice to you, but not just to you, to all of us as Christians, to find that fine line between preaching to people who don't want to hear us and at the same time to not get discouraged if we've done everything in our power and they still don't listen to us. But let's tie in the second reading here from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The point that Paul makes in his second in his letter to the Ephesians is that God calls us and chooses us to do something. God has called each and every one of us to do something. This is what St. Paul said. From the foundation of the world, I have called you. How appropriate that we see that God has called each and every one of us for a specific purpose. And we hope and pray, God willing, as Jonathan and Greg go off to their 8 years of seminary, we hope and pray that God is, in fact, calling them to the priesthood and that they persevere in their 8 years of seminary and one day make it to the altar as priests. But we recognize that all of us are called to something. And how appropriate that whatever it is God is calling us to, be it to the priesthood, be it to consecrated religious life, be it to the married life, which of course is the source and the font of all other vocations. Remember this, what St. Paul has told us, that from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, God chose us in Christ to do a purpose. And something that I think can be very sobering for all of us to think about is that God, Almighty God, has actually kind of made himself dependent on us. There are certain tasks and certain people that God has called you to reach. And it is entirely possible, brothers and sisters, that if you do not do those tasks, if you do not reach those people, they may never be reached. That's very sobering. That should be sobering to us. That God has a plan for each and every one of us, and that if we fail in that plan, there may be certain people that are never reached. And we can hope and pray that God will raise up someone else to pick up where we left off and to fill in the blanks. But it should be very sobering for us to realize that God has entrusted to me something that he has not entrusted to anyone else. That there are certain people, certain tasks that he is calling me to do that he is not calling anyone else to do. And if I fail in that, it may not get done. So it should be very sobering for us to reflect on today. But this is the good news. This is the good news. Like Amos, who was not a prophet by training, who was simply a shepherd, a dresser of sycamores, like the 12 apostles who were fishermen, we too are often unworthy. I know I am unworthy of the vocation that God calls us to, but this is the good news, is that God calls us anyways. A saying that we had at the seminary over and over again was that God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the chosen. Right? He does not choose the qualified, he qualifies the chosen. So don't worry about, oh, well, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I have enough strengths or talents or this or that. I don't think I'm up to it. That's not the point. None of us are up to it. And guess what? None of us are worthy of it. But that's not the point. The point is that God calls us anyways. God qualifies the chosen. He does not choose those of us who are already qualified. None of us were worthy of the grace and the character that we received in baptism and again in confirmation, and yet God called us anyways to be baptized, to be confirmed, to go out into the world and to preach. Jonathan and Greg, you two are certainly not worthy of... This is the sobering thing, is you're not worthy. Neither of you are worthy of the priesthood, and I'm not worthy of the priesthood. And none of the priests or deacons in the sanctuary are worthy of holy orders. The only person who is truly worthy of the priesthood is Jesus Christ himself, whose priesthood it is. But God calls us anyways. And that should be the good news for us, that we don't get caught up in our own limitations and say, well, I can't do that. I don't have enough of whatever I need, worldly skills or... Doesn't matter. If God's calling you, he will give you everything that you need to do this. And so I offer that to all of us as advice, that perhaps when we get discouraged, when we go out and do what we're called to do, to go out and to preach and to share the good news, and as St. Francis says, you know, preach the gospel, always use words when necessary, that we preach first and foremost through our actions. But it's important for all of us to remember that even when we get discouraged, even once we've done everything in our power, that God is the one who is going to convert hearts. We are called simply to cooperate with God, to do what he has called us to. On the one hand, to preach to people who sometimes do not want to hear it, and on the other hand, to move on when we've done everything in our power, to walk that fine line. And Jonathan and Greg and all of us here, I would encourage all of us to remember that and to try to walk that fine line. And Jonathan and Greg, as you go into these 8 years of priestly formation and continual discernment, which of course you've begun already, you've begun with your prayer life. We started that morning prayer group with just the three of us, and now it's grown to 8, I think, when everyone shows up. Every single morning getting together and praying, daily mass that you have already gotten into the habit of doing, prayer at home, frequenting the sacraments, especially confession. Take advantage of all of those graces that God offers to you and that God offers to all of us, brothers and sisters, as we continue in our own life as a Christian. And so I would just wrap up with this. Greg and Jonathan, as we as a parish community send you off today for these 8 years of priestly formation, do know that we love you, and we will be praying for you. We will continue praying for you as you continue to respond so generously to this vocation to which the Lord has called you.